All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the New Testament book of Mark. And I would like for you to turn to the 9th chapter, Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. All right, this is a rather lengthy story, but I feel like I need to read the whole story to you, and then I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the great need for revival. The great need for revival. All right, so let's start in verse 14, please. Verse 14, it says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him." Now, let me stop right there and say that in the first part of this chapter, the Lord Jesus has been up on the mountain, and he took Peter, James, and John, the inner circle of the disciples, with him, and he was transfigured up on the mountain right in their presence. Transfigured, his glory was shining forth. And Elijah and Moses showed up. Remember the story? All right, everybody nod your heads like this. Say, sure, I remember that, Pastor, sure. All right, now, that's the first part of this chapter. And so he now is coming down the mountain, and he gets to where the disciples were surrounded by this huge number of people, and they look up and they see the Lord Jesus coming, and they leave the disciples and they run to the Lord Jesus. All right, so they saluted him. Everybody was greeting him. They were just thrilled that he was there. All right, verse 16, "And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them?" In other words, what are you asking my disciples about? All right, what conversation are you having over there? "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him." In other words, he has convulsions. This boy has convulsions, and it says that it teareth him, and he foameth. He's foaming at the mouth. Evidently, some kind of an epileptic seizure or something. And then it says, "And gnasheth with his teeth." So he is in danger of biting off his tongue. All right. So, and it says, "And pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit," in other words, this demon, this devil that was in this boy, "all of a sudden tear him." So in other words, the devil that was in him began to do his work on the boy, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father. So Jesus asked this boy's dad, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit crieth, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we cast the devil out of this boy? Now watch. And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now let me read this again to you, verse 28 and 29. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I want to speak to you tonight on the great need for revival. All right, let's bow our heads for just a moment and then the message. Our Father, thank you now for our time together around your word. And I pray that you will bless as I preach tonight. I pray that you will stir the hearts of every person in this room and everyone who is listening on the internet and everyone who will get a CD of this and hear it someday. Father, I just pray that you will bless the word of God to every heart. Draw us to yourself, Father, and light that fire of revival in our hearts that is so much needed. Bless us now, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight from this very familiar story, and I'm going to entitle the message tonight, The Great Need for Revival. I am convinced that the need for revival is one of the biggest challenges that we face. There is a complacency today in God's church, all over in God's church. There is this complacency. There is a lack of concern for righteousness. And the fire that should be burning in our hearts is nothing more than just a small glowing ember. Like Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, we have let the fire go out upon the altar. All over the country, folks, the fire has gone out upon the altar. Now, the Lord has so constituted the church. Listen to me now. The Lord has so constituted the church that every member matters. Every member. The young, the teenagers, the middle-aged, the elderly, every member matters, and matters in a very real and vital sense. I say this because it seems that today there are a lot of folks who seem to be comfortable not being vibrantly connected to the church they attend. Oh, if you nailed them down, they would gladly tell you that they attend such and such a church. They'll tell you that. They have no qualms about that. But the simple truth of the matter is that there are a lot of folks who are just comfortable to sit on the outside and watch what's going on in the church. And that would not be such a bad thing if they would murmur and complain while they watch. But I digress. But this is something that is characteristic of most areas of our lives today. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but you know, there was a day when folks used to enjoy playing sports. They used to enjoy going outside and playing sports. When I was growing up, every evening we got together and played something connected to a ball. All right, you came home from school, and then you ate dinner, and boom, you took off. And we would play basketball in the wintertime, football in the fall, and then we would play basketball and softball through the spring, and then baseball in the summertime. And just about every day, the whole community would gather together, and we would choose teams, and then everybody would play. Today, we are more content to go to a stadium somewhere and pay a quarter of our salary for a week, and then sit with a bunch of cursing drunks, screaming their heads off, and the whole thing that we're doing there is we are watching someone else play. We're not doing it ourselves. Oh, we might get sweaty, you know? But we don't have any problem paying to see somebody else exercise and play sports. There was a time when people provided their own entertainment in the evenings. But now, television and movie rentals provide their entertainment for them. And I don't know how many times we have gone in the house when all the grandkids are there, and you'll hear one of the moms or the dads or their grandmother say, "All right, enough technology, everybody put them down and go outside and play." All right, so we shoved them all out the door last week, and now they're covered from head to toe with poison ivy. So I don't know how we're going to justify that. You all might want to pray for us over that God will give us wisdom to be able, because I know one at least who is thinking in that direction. Yeah, you told us to go outside and play. Now look, I know. Also told you to stay out of the poison ivy. So there, that'll work, won't it? Probably not. But anyway, I think in a very real way, that is the tendency that is manifesting itself in our churches today. It's almost like we are totally content to just sit back and let a few others do everything. We're just content to sit back and let others do the work. And my point is, folks, everyone in the church needs to be attached and connected and involved and participating in the work that God is doing in the church. And I think you can see just from this example that there is a great need for revival in our churches today. In our text, we are told that the Lord Jesus took Peter and James and John up into a high mountain apart, the Bible says. And on that mountain, they witnessed the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what an amazing event that must have been. And so on the way down, back down the mountain, they saw a crowd of people surrounding the remaining disciples below, where there was much debate and much argument that was going on. And when the Lord Jesus was coming toward them, somebody in the crowd recognized Jesus was coming, and probably out on the fringe. And when he called the name of the Lord, everybody that was around the disciples all of a sudden turned and ran toward the Lord Jesus, and they were all so excited that he was there. Now, the Lord asked the scribes what they were disputing with his disciples about. And at that moment, the father of the boy, that is the central part of this story, stepped forward and he told the Lord Jesus about his son. Bless the boy's heart. I mean, he had it rough, folks. And the father is now telling the Lord about this boy. You see, this boy was possessed with a devil. And from the time he was a child, he had been possessed with this devil. And this devil did horrible things to him, trying to capture his body as well as his soul. You see, the devil caused this little guy's body to convulse and to have these fits where the boy would try to kill himself. And the diligence of the father is probably the only thing that spared this boy from a certain death. And so the father of the boy said to the Lord, "Lord, I have brought him to you, but you were not here. So I took him out of desperation to your disciples, but they could not help him. Oh, they tried, but they failed." And the Lord Jesus then asked a few questions of the Father, but then proceeded to cast out the devil that was in this boy and then he restored him to perfect health from that very moment on. Now, when they went inside the house, the disciples got away from everybody else and asked the Lord privately a question. They said to him, "Why could not we cast this devil out? Why couldn't we do it? I know you did it. We're thankful you did it. But Lord, why couldn't we do it?" And the Lord Jesus said to them, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting." Now that's the story right there. That's the story. And what I want to do now is take a couple of things out of the story and show you tonight the great need for revival. The first thing I want you to notice is this. I want you to notice the picture this represents of our present world. There is a picture here of our present world, and I want to call that to your attention. You see, here in the boy, I see a picture of the world. And then in the disciples, I see a picture of the church in 2021. Is it not blatantly obvious that today the church is failing, just like these disciples did? Oh, the disciples were trying their best to fix this boy. They were going through the motions, but the problem was they did not have the power in order to make a difference in this boy's life. Oh, they were going through the routine. They were going through the rituals. They were going through the motions. But the problem was they had no power to do what was needed. And folks, this is just like the church of Jesus Christ today in 2021. It's not that churches today aren't trying. Oh, I think a lot of churches are trying. By and large, there is a huge amount of busyness and activity going on, maybe even more than at any other time in history. But is there any success? Are we achieving anything of lasting value with all of our efforts? You see, there is, as Paul said, would be in the last days, there is a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So we might ask ourselves the same question that the disciples asked the Lord Jesus. Why cannot we cast him out? What's the problem? What is the cause of our failure today? What is the explanation of the situation that confronts us today? Now, the Lord Jesus then deals directly with that very question. The Lord Jesus answers by saying to them in verse 29, he says, "This kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting." This kind. Now, the first thing I think that the Lord Jesus taught the disciples here is that Jesus shows them that each case is different. Each case is different. This kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. This kind. So that must mean there are some other kinds. Right? Okay, so let's go over to the book of Luke for just a minute. Go to the next book, the book of Luke, and go please to chapter 10. Luke's gospel and chapter 10. And let me show you a little parallel here. All right, Luke chapter 10. Look please at verse 17. It says, "And the 70 returned again with joy." Now, what was this? Well, the Lord had 70 followers. His disciples were in the mix. And he had 70 followers, and he sent them out to preach and to tell people how to get to heaven. All right? So, he sends out 70 disciples. Now watch in verse 17. "The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord," watch this now, "even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." All right? Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this," watch now, "notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Now, folks, the story here in Luke 10 tells us about how the Lord Jesus sent 70 of his disciples in and around all the towns, all the little villages around Capernaum and the Sea of Galilee. And he sent them out there to go soul winning. Now, when he sent them out there, they ran into all kinds of situations. And they were so successful against these situations that they came back ecstatic to the place of pride. And the Lord rebuked them for that pride, but they came back so thrilled because of their success. And the Lord, and they said to the Lord, why, even the devils were subject unto them. But folks, here in this story that I'm preaching from in the Gospel of Mark, here in this story, they seem to be powerless. They could do nothing against the devil that was in this boy. Their hands were tied, and the boy was not affected, or the healing of the boy was not affected by their efforts. And the Lord Jesus said to them when they questioned, why couldn't we do it? Jesus said, this kind. You see, folks, they were successful with one kind, but this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. And folks, this is something the scriptures emphasizes over and over. I'm not sure we ever give it a whole lot of thought. But in an ultimate and overall sense, the problem is always the same. This, like the others they faced in Luke 10, was a case of demon devil possession. But we see that there is a difference, as it were, between the devils. You see, folks, in that evil kingdom of which Satan oversees, there are gradations, levels of power, and levels of strength in his kingdom. And they did not stop to think about that. You see, they may have gone out in Luke 10 earlier and come across people that were battling demons, and they were able to cast them out. But evidently, this demon in our text was just a little more powerful than the rest, because the disciples did not have enough power in them yet to be able to handle that demon that was in that boy. Now, let me help you with this. All right, we're not going to turn to it for the sake of time. You know the verse. But in the devil's kingdom, there are gradations. There are levels of power and levels of strength. There is a sort of hierarchy, if you will. In Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul said these words. Now help me here. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, all right? But we do wrestle against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, so what is Paul explaining here? He is explaining that there are different levels of power and different levels of strength in the devil's kingdom. Now, of course, Satan is the head of this evil hierarchy. He is, as Paul said, the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, in Ephesians 2:2. So that is Satan with all of his might and power. But understand, folks, that under him are these various other spirits and powers and forces, which evidently vary in strength and in power. So obviously, the disciples could deal with some of the lesser ones that they faced in Luke 10, but here in Mark 9 was evidently a devil that had greater power. Here was a demon who was strong, and Jesus said to them, this kind, you haven't faced this kind before. When you went out the first time, you did not face this kind. This one is a little bit different. This one has more power and more influence and is part of a greater force, and you need prayer and fasting if you're going to defeat a devil such as that. That's what I think is happening here. Folks, so obviously, the disciples could deal with some of the lesser ones, but here was evidently a demon with greater power. So this kind constituted a much greater problem for the disciples and proved himself a powerful force against the disciples when the Lord Jesus was up on the mountain. And folks, listen, that leads me to the second thing. Now listen very carefully. This exact principle is still as true today as it was then. The exact same thing. You see, folks, we have some major issues today that we battle, which we have never had to face before. We've got, as time goes on, I think the devil is just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? Well, John said in the book of Revelation that he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knows that he's running out of time. And the devil is taking all that he has ever designed and all that he has ever thought of, and he is using it in greater ways today than he has ever used them in the past. You see, church, here's what I'm saying. Listen to me. What got us through the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s in our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches, what got us through those early days are not effective against the modern this kind in 2021. It's going to take more than just showing up and sitting on the outside. It's going to take more than just showing up in church and sitting back and watching a few old veterans get it done. You see, folks, some of the devils that are oppressing our society today are powerful devils. They're powerful. And we're not going to be able to defeat them with the little power and the little effort that we give to the Lord's work today. I remember back when I first started in the ministry, and if I heard that Curtis Hudson or Jack Hiles or one of the other old veteran preachers was going to preach somewhere, I would get in the car and I'd drive to sit and listen to him. I would. I just could not get enough. I just could not get enough of those old veteran preachers. And one thing that I noticed as I listened to them, one thing I know, I saw patterns as they went around the country and preached in churches. And one of the patterns that I noticed was how every service they preached against immorality. I mean, it just, every service, it did not make any difference what the sermon title was. They eventually got to the matter of immorality, and they preached fervently and strongly against the world and immorality. But you know, in our world today, it is no longer just an issue of immorality that we have to face as a church. No, today we are a nation that has become amoral. Amen. Amoral. You know what? When you put an A in front of something, it means no. No morals. We are a society today that no longer has morals. That's our culture today. I mean, we are a non-moral society. And you have heard me say from this pulpit 100 times that we live in an age where what's right has become wrong, and what's wrong has become right. All right? You can fly a rainbow flag on the side of your church, and that's fine. Nobody is going to say a word to you about that. You can do that right over here in Westminster on Route 27 and Green Street. If you don't know where I'm talking about, if you've driven by there and haven't seen it, well, it's there. All right, now you can fly that's fine. But boy, you stand up in the pulpit and you call homosexuality what God calls it, an abomination. Amen. Well, now you're going to get your tax exempt status looked at. Somebody's going to be upset about that. You know, we used to preach against immorality. Today, we have to preach against a society that has become amoral. I mean, we're raising kids today. Well, I'm not. But some folks are raising kids today, and they don't know what gender they are. Folks, listen, I hate to break this to you. There's two. Amen. All right, there's two. I mean, what is wrong with us? A little Johnny is going to now identify as a girl. No. No, he's not. You say, oh, well, that's the way he feels today. Oh my goodness. We're an amoral society today, folks. What's right, like going to church, well, that's seen as wrong. Well, you're crazy going to church. And then you guys come back on Sunday night. What in the world is wrong with you? And then there's going to be some of you will show up on Wednesday night. What's wrong with you? That's what the world thinks. They go by and they see the cars in the parking lot and they scratch their collective heads and go, what in the world? Are they handling snakes in there? No. What are they doing in there? And it's real strange. Sometimes on Sunday morning, you'll see some of them go up and down the road. They'll say, I got to see what's going on over there. And then they come over and they're shocked. You mean you sat there for 45 minutes and let that guy yell at you? You people are sick. That's what they think. That's what they think. Folks, this principle is still as true as it was then. I mean, the world cries, don't judge us. Don't judge us with your Bible viewpoint. Why not? Amen. You see, you didn't write the morals. God wrote the morals. Where did God put morality? Right here in the book. So everything is just backwards today, isn't it? I mean, you have to see things the way we see things, and if you don't agree with us, then we're going to silence you. And they're trying to legislate with executive orders morality, or immorality, I guess, or amorality, I guess, which is only proving that our country is in desperate need of revival. Folks, we will not defeat, now listen to me, we will not defeat these devils with the efforts that we are exerting now. Our measly little efforts will not overcome these devils that have a stranglehold on our churches. The contemporary devils, the Bible version devils, the entertain me devils, the ego devils that have invaded our churches are so much stronger than any of the devils that we've ever had to face before. And it's going to take this kind, prayer and fasting to overcome this kind. This kind speaks to us of a fresh endowment of power with God. This kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. You see, folks, the question becomes, are we really praying for God's power? Are we really praying? Are we praying several times a day for the power of God to be upon our lives? You as an individual. Are you praying for the power of God to be upon your church? Are you praying for the power of God to be upon the services? Are you praying for the power of God to be upon the preaching of God's word? Or are we simply content to sit and do nothing and watch Fox News and grumble about how bad things are in our world today? Well, that seems to be what we're doing. We seem to be content to just sit back and say, well, you know, the Lord's got to come soon, and we're just going to wait him out, I guess. No, folks, we're supposed to occupy till he come. Occupy till he come. Are we even aware that what is missing in our lives as Christians is Holy Ghost power? Amen. Are we even aware of that? I'm not sure many are. How are we going to have the power to overcome this kind? How are we going to do that? We must be aware of our need for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, giving us power from on high to defeat these devils. Our own power is never going to suffice. We do not need more knowledge. We do not need more understanding. We do not need more apologetics. We do not need more science. We do not need more philosophy. We do not need another new translation of the Bible. We do not need more music. We do not need more upbeat music. We do not need more modern music. And we certainly do not need more high church music. No, sir. You say, well, then what do we need? The power of God upon our church. The power of God upon our lives. We need a power that can enter into the souls of men and break them and humble them and draw them to see their need of the Savior. This kind. That's what we need. This kind. We need this kind of power with God, which can be acquired by each and every one of us through prayer and fasting. You see, the power that Peter and John had in Acts chapter 3 and 4, and the power that Paul had that made Felix tremble, and the power that the disciples had where they said that these are they who have turned the world upside down. We need that power that John had, and we need that power that that Augustine had and that Savonarola had, and we need that power that that Whitfield had and D.L. Moody and Charles Haddon Spurgeon. We need that power that that those men had who went up and down the eastern seaboard and throughout New England and preached the gospel, and people fell to the floor under great conviction of sin because they had the power of God. That's what we need. Amen. It was said that Finney walked into a factory one day, and the guy that ran the factory wanted Finney to address all of his workers, and he walked in the door of this big factory. And when the man walked through the door, everybody in there got under conviction of sin and went to their knees. The man never even said a word. He never said a word. Now you fathom that, folks. That's missing in our world today. That's missing. That power that men have had in the past is power that is available to us today. But this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. Fasting gives us the ability to concentrate and focus our undivided attention on a this kind of issue. And in prayer gets us the power. We are seemingly so comfortable with the status quo that we don't want anything that just might upset things. You see, the disciples tried to exorcise this boy's demon, but they were powerless. They were powerless. But when Jesus showed up, the effortless manner in which he worked cast the devil out, and the boy was restored to health and restored to his family. You see, folks, here's what I'm saying. Your son or your daughter, your husband, your wife, the fellas that you work with, that neighbor who is so desperately in need of salvation. Let me ask you, what is going to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ? You ever thought about that? What's going to reach them? Well, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. Amen. This kind is never going to happen with just our own efforts and our own endeavors, but it's going to happen by prayer and fasting. This kind. That's what we need, this kind. You say, well, I've got a boy that needs to get saved. Well, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. You say, well, I got a husband and he's lost and he doesn't care about anything. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about the Bible. He doesn't care about church. He doesn't care. This kind sounds to me like he's of this kind. That's what I think he is. And folks, if we ever hope to see revival in our land, we're going to have to put forth some effort. Amen. This kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now for our time together tonight. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts tonight. Father, all over this building, there are moms and dads. There are parents with teenagers. And they almost feel helpless as they sit and watch their teenager get hard to them and hard to the gospel, hard to church. There's no brokenness. There's no humility. There's almost a hardness about them. So, Father, I pray you'll help moms and dads to realize that's a this kind of situation. There are needs here that are this kind of need. There are lost folks who are this kind of lost folks. And Father, how are we going to reach them? The disciples scratched their heads. They couldn't figure it out. Why could we not cast him out? Well, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. So, Father, I ask you to speak to our hearts tonight. Show us the great need of revival in 2021. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.